We're doing Tehillim, we're up to the 66th chapter. Lamnatzeach Shir Mizmor, Hariu Leilohim, Kol Haaretz. The following song King David composed, Hariu Leilohim, Kol Haaretz. Everyone should rejoice, should give song in honor of Hashem. Some learn that this song was composed after King David was able to rest from his wars. We reached a point of tranquility. He says, now I turn to everyone to give praise. Now, I'm assuming King David composed it, even though it doesn't tell us who was the composer. The Meiri, for example, learns that this is a prophetic vision that the Jewish people had upon leaving Egypt, and that this song was kept as a tradition until King David came and wrote it and incorporated it in Psalms. So there are multiple interpretations. We're going to go with the interpretation that this was composed by David, and it was about the time when the Jews were able to sit back and have some tranquility after all their wars. Zameru chivot shemo, give song in honor of his name. Very often when we give honor, so we do it begrudgingly. Notice how people say thank you. It's hard to say it with a smile and looking the person in the eye. Here, David HaMelech says, when you give honor to God's name, do it in song. Do it rejoicing. Simu chavod tehillato. Make glorious his honor. Yes?
I have a question regarding the realistic ability to heed to King David's telling us what to do. Like, be so joyful with your Hashem, like when you say thank you to everyone, do it in song. How anyone could do that, meaning anyone could start, you know, you're gonna say Birkat HaMazon and do it in a song. But very often, when we're thankful, as you said, we're not emotionally, mature or healthy enough to actually be to the point where we're feeling as grateful to Hashem for that which we are thanking. So we'll thank Him according to protocol, meaning we ate bread, so we bench. We woke up in the morning, we say Modani. But are we really so happy to wake up in the morning all the time? Or, you know, or do we wish that we had another hour? So is it almost on me because I have to and I can't go anywhere? But to do it in song, from the heart? You could do it in song because you tell yourself to do it in song. But, you know, how... I think David HaMelech is... Or whoever wrote if it was a prophetic vision from before, whoever... And anything in this interview that's telling us to do this, it's telling us to do it from the assumption that we're emotionally healthy, which most of us, I would assume, are not.
I think that David HaMelech is not ignoring the fact that we have days when we feel like crying and we have days where we're not enthused. But the question is, when we have days to give thanks, how do we give that thanks? I'll tell you an interesting story. There was a family that the wife became pregnant, and 6 months into the pregnancy, the ultrasound shows that the baby has serious complications. And 8 months into the pregnancy, it wasn't clear the baby would live to the end of the pregnancy. And 9 months into the pregnancy, it was clear that the baby wouldn't live too long. And the baby was born and passed away. Okay? Some time passes. And the woman becomes pregnant again. And this time has a healthy boy. And at the bris, the father gets up to speak. And he asks for quiet, and everyone becomes quiet. And when he gets up to speak, he begins as follows. There's a song, just like in the United States, so there's a boys' choir that became famous, Miami Boys' Choir. So in Israel, there's the Jerusalem Boys' Choir. And there's a classic, it became a classic Jewish song that I grew up on. This choir began with one tape, which was called Yehudim Em Bnei Melachim, Jews Are Sons of Princes, and that's the song, that's like the theme song in the cassette. And on that first cassette, which was a big hit, they had a song which goes as follows. Ode lecha Hashem al shtei einai. Ode lecha Hashem al shtei raglai. Ode lecha Hashem al tzavari. Ode lecha Hashem al gufi habari. It's a song that says thanks. I want to thank you, Hashem, that I have two eyes. I want to thank you, Hashem, that I have two hands. I want to thank you, Hashem, that I have a healthy body. Now, this parent who had one child who did not have healthy eyes or healthy feet or healthy arms, and the baby was so unhealthy that the baby didn't even live, so when he finally had a baby that was healthy, so then he got up and just sang the song. That was his speech. He got up and sang a song about saying thank you that I have this limb and that limb and the other limb. I thank you, Hashem, for being healthy. And there wasn't a dry eye in the room, obviously, when he was done, including his own. But my point is, coming back to here, David HaMelech is speaking to us about the times in our life when we do want to give honor, when we do want to say thanks, and then there's a temptation or a tendency to do it half-heartedly. And that's where David HaMelech says, Zameru chevod shemo. I don't know how many of you celebrated your bar mitzvahs, and I don't know how many of you came from places where you had this custom, but very often when people celebrate their bar mitzvah, so they get bar mitzvah gifts. And then the parents say you have to write a thank you to the people who sent you the bar mitzvah gift. I still come from a generation where people wrote thank you cards. Now, some of you obviously come from the same generation. How hard is it to write a thank you card? How tedious? But why? You guys, God willing, will all get married. And B'zrat Hashem, you'll have gifts. The proper thing is to write a thank you card to thank the people who gave you the gift. Your thank you card will cost you 2 minutes to 5 minutes and a stamp. The gift they gave you is has cost them much more. The time they took to come out to your wedding was much more time than it'll take you to write a thank you card. How do you do it? In all the years where we set up, I don't know, hundreds if not thousands of couples on dates, there was one couple that I really, I don't know the girl, but I kept trying to set up the guy, and I never met him. And I thought he was a really fine young man from our conversations. And then one day he calls me up, and he tells me I'm engaged, and I just wanted to thank you for all the time you invested trying to set me up. And it blew me away, because it never happened. You understand what that means? Of all the hundreds, if not thousands, of couples that we tried setting up, I don't think one other than him ever called to say thank you when they got engaged. Think about that. Think what that means. There's this half-hearted approach when people have to say thank you, or in this case where David HaMelech is talking about giving honor. So David HaMelech says, when you do it with a song. He's not saying every morning you'll have the desire to do it, but he's saying when it's the right time, at least do it in song.
Where does this human condition come from? I mean, the human condition that causes difficulties in recognizing when it's appropriate to be gracious and expressing the gratitude that we should be expressing.
I'm happy to answer it. We're short on time. If the class wants us to discuss that, it'll take 5 minutes. It's an important thought, but only for that's our vote, because then we're giving up on this chapter of Tehillim for tonight, which is fine. How many people want us to go into this? Okay. So, took me a long time to understand this concept. I noticed it when I noticed that Moshe Rabbeinu was super gracious. Moshe Rabbeinu was placed in the Nile for a few minutes, and for the rest of his life, he's thankful to the Nile. Wait a second. Moshe Rabbeinu was placed in the Nile when he didn't even know he was being placed in the Nile. So that means years later, he heard how his parents hid him in the Nile, and for the rest of his life, he had gratitude to the Nile. We know when God tells him to do the first plague of hitting the Nile, Moshe hands that honor to Aaron. Aaron should hit the Nile. Moshe doesn't want to be the one to turn the Nile into blood. He owes a debt of gratitude to the Nile. You know what that's like? That's like you saying, when I was born, my parents put me in a Graco car seat, so I'm going to have a car satov to Graco for the rest of my life. Wait a second, they were in an accident and a Graco car seat saved my life. Really? How many people would ever think to ask what car seat was I in when there was a car accident and think they owe a debt of gratitude? So we have a concept, bara deshosis minei, a well that you drank from, lotish divei kala, don't throw a clod of earth into it when you're done. You finish drinking, don't throw a clod of earth. So that's a simple concept. You finish learning in the classroom, don't leave your garbage behind. A person sometimes walks into a meeting and leaves his filthy cup there. A person can sit in Beis Medrash and learn and leave his filthy cup there. That's a basic level of just being a basic person with Derech Eretz. But here we're talking about something way above that. We're talking about having a sense of gratitude for a Nile that he was in for a few minutes 80 years earlier. Wow. So Moshe Rabbeinu has that debt of gratitude. He's 15 years old. He goes out and there's an Egyptian beating a Jew to death. And he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand, and for the next 65 years, he walks around looking at sand with appreciation. But wait a second, a day later, he was taken to court over that, over killing that Egyptian, and incarcerated, and put on death row. And then God saves him and he escapes. What's he owing a debt of gratitude? But for one day, the sand helped him, so Moshe Rabbeinu will not turn the sand into lice. There's a plague of turning the sand into lice. Moshe won't do it. Let someone else turn the sand into lice. 65 years later. It's been 65 years. Yeah, but I don't have to turn the sand into lice. So I'm always taken by that. Like, it blows my mind how far I am. I look at Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't begin to understand that type of gratitude. Just second, Yaakov. So I started noticing that it goes hand in hand with another trait Moshe Rabbeinu had, which is the trait of humility, which goes hand in hand with another trait, which is being truthful. Because arrogance is lying. It's taking credit for something we really don't have. We really don't owe it to ourselves. Arrogance is being bloated. It's being filled with a lie, a lot of hot air. Humility is a person's truthful. I know what my strengths, I know what my weaknesses, I know how to be thankful. So then what gets in our way, the reason we have a hard time showing appreciation is because the word in Hebrew of todah is identical to the word modeh. To be modeh means to give thanks. It also means to admit. Every time you give thanks, you're admitting you needed someone else. No one likes admitting they need someone else. We all like to feel like we're great. I don't need anyone. That's how many people end up divorced. You'll show me, I'll show you. You'll show me, I'll show you. Wait a second, I do need you. You won't show me. You won. How many times have I told people, just tell your spouse you won. I need you and I can't do without you. You won, you're the winner. But people don't want to say that. Why should she be the winner? I'm the winner. Why should she get it her way? You know, a wife once said, my husband speaks nastily to me. I said to her, so it's not right. You're right. You want him to change overnight? We both know that's not realistic. But are you willing to not respond nastily to him? Are you willing to say when he speaks that way to you, could you say to him, honey, I love you, and it hurts me if you talk that way. Could you just rephrase that in a nicer way? If he agrees that every time you say that to him, he'll stop and he'll rephrase it in a nice way, are you willing to do that? Oh, suddenly she has to change. Suddenly she has to do the work. He says, look, I'm willing to change. I know I should be different. It's hard. So I'm saying, okay, I understand it's hard. Are you willing to do that step? You're willing to look at him and say, he should talk differently, but are you willing to help him? Are you willing to tell him that nicely without yelling at him back? So we have a hard time showing appreciation because to show appreciation means to say, I needed you. You were a help to me. Ah, that requires humility. Now we see the whole slew of traits. Moshe Rabbeinu can show tremendous appreciation because it's never a threat to him. He has that humility. He has that honesty. If he has that honesty and that humility, so then he can really look at the world and have real appreciation. For us, it's a foreign concept. We tell ourselves, how could I train myself to have appreciation? But if we'd really be honest and humble, then we could have real appreciation. So that's the way the system works. And the more a person is honest with himself and has true humility, the more he's capable of showing real appreciation. Real appreciation. There's also the issue of having that habit, developing that habit. So those are two ways of working on the trait.
You mean the habit of expressing the appreciation, even if you're not honest and humble enough to really be feeling it in your heart, but you know that it's the right thing, so you'll get in the habit of it while simultaneously working on your traits of honesty?
Yes, but it's not only that. It's also because especially men have a very hard time expressing emotion, unless it's cynical, at least in our day and age. So when you tell a guy, it's great to see you, I really enjoyed our time together, so you feel uncomfortable and he feels uncomfortable, like, what just happened? But what's wrong with saying something positive? So that's why I'm saying it's an issue of a habit. It's also forming a habit. And that helps us. It helps us express positive emotion, and it helps us get used to having that real appreciation.